opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome, North State. This is Rich Novelli. I am the president and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. We are located on Eureka and Court Street on the west side of Reading. This is our first show. We are all about community and helping Reading build a wellness perspective, helping improve the quality of their life. And over the next several shows, we're going to be introducing you to experts, content, and maybe new ways of thinking about how to improve the quality of your life, improve how you look at getting healthy. And to start things off, our first guest is Lindsay Miller, who is a longtime friend and certainly an expert in her own right. And welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you for having me, Rich.
So this morning we want to talk a little bit about nutrition, but in a slightly different perspective. And maybe you can start off by telling us a little bit about you and your background. Reading native, how long have you been here?
Great. Well, thank you for having me again. I'm honored and just humbled to be here. A little bit about me. Like Rich said, my name's Lindsay Miller. I work as a physician assistant, and I've worked in medicine for about the past 13 years, and I also have the pleasure of being the director of nutrition at Wellgate. And my sort of inspiration to look a little bit more into nutrition started a few years ago, specifically. And I'm a few months shy of becoming having a nutrition credential to be an integrative health coach. And I love being able to provide good information on overall nutrition to not only my patients that I see, but also the members at Wellgate. And unfortunately, in medicine, I know in my program specifically, we only had about 15 minutes worth of nutrition course, and so much of disease and so much of optimal health is dependent on nutrition. So I'm really excited to be able to contribute some kind of different philosophies on nutrition. And I've been living back here in Reading for about the past 15 years. I went to high school here, so I'm very proud to be back here, not only working as a professional in the community, but also raising children in the community.
Now, I know you are very much a student of wellness, and the information that's become available over the last few years, obviously constantly changing. Mm-hmm. What have you really grasped from that, this new wave of information about wellness in general and focus on well-being? Is there one thing that stands out to you that has really kind of caught your attention? I know we're going to talk about a few things here today, but maybe something that really has kind of caught your eye.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I can say that it's overwhelming. Nutrition in general is overwhelming to us as medical professionals. And we're the ones that, quote unquote, have had all the training and doing all the studying. But there's so much, information, and it can be so overwhelming for people to just go down the aisle and know what they should choose and what they shouldn't choose and what was on the news that night before. Should they eat soy? Should they not eat soy? Should they eat gluten? Should they not eat gluten? And I think at the end of the day, being really present in your body and knowing what makes your body feel the strongest and the best version of yourself, I think that's really better than anything I could tell an individual patient or an individual client or a member. Is one person's food is another person's poison. That's a great way to think of it. Right. I could eat soy and feel amazing, and I could recommend that you do the same. And it makes you feel bloated, it makes you feel tired, and it doesn't make you feel good. But being able to try different things and be present enough to do an inventory on how you feel is really, I think, the best way to know what foods are best for you.
Now, we are, in this information age, this renaissance, if you will, we've had so much access to information on the internet And, you know, people joke around that if it's on the Internet, it must be true. But that's not necessarily the case. I mean, there's a lot of good information out there. But like you said, sometimes it's the flavor of the week, especially when it comes to nutrition. Mm-hmm. Are there things out there that you found that you perceive to be dangerous? Or, you know, how should people research their own information? Are there sites? Are there, you know, specific areas that they should be researching to get good information? Or does it really come down to connecting with an expert that, you know, you should seek out to get the right information?
I think that's a great question. I think at the end of the day, consulting with an expert or somebody certainly in the nutrition realm that can give you some good guidance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's my personal philosophy that we intuitively know what we should eat. It's when we get inundated or overwhelmed or paralyzed by too much disinformation or misinformation is when we sort of second guess intuitive what we know is right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
Sure.
And so I think connecting with people overall that have a good sense so that they can just partner with you on your individual journey to make those better food choices. We'll start talking later on in the differences of primary food and secondary food, and that's a very strong philosophy that I have. But I think at the end of the day, as trying different kinds of foods and seeing and feeling what works best, because if you go with basically just gluten-free and thinking that gluten-free is healthy, you can actually have fried gluten-free food, and that's not healthy.
Right.
So it's really, you know, not just taking it at face value, but taking it and digging it a little bit deeper.
Right.
And there are some good sites out there, but for the most part, I think really just kind of doing some initial inventory within yourself and kind of going along and very slowly adding in and crowding out bad foods.
So we talk a lot about at Wellgate Sports Club about what's your why.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk to a prospective member or members, we ask them, you know, what is your why? Why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it really gets to the heart of a lot of our perspective, our culture, about we want to get you where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know in yourself, mm-hmm. you know, what it is that you want to accomplish. So I think nutritionally that would hold true as well, right?
I mean, I
want to lose weight. Well, why do you want to lose weight? You know,
right.
Are you getting ready for an athletic event? Is your doctor saying that you're overweight? Do you have a medical condition that prescribes that? But, you know, what is it that motivates you or mm-hmm. that is important to you to lose that weight?
Exactly. And it's the same thing. You know, they'll go online and say, okay, so the big fad right now or the big buzz is kale. I know that I need to eat kale. And they start eating kale. So it's just like you said, Rich, why are you eating kale? Are you eating kale because you inherently have a desire to eat and make better food choices? Okay, well, let's look at the global picture. Because if you're eating a bunch of other foods that are not optimal, but you're eating your weight in kale, you're still not going to be the healthiest, most nutritious version of yourself. And so I think, again, it's looking at the whole picture and getting to the root cause of why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, there's not one thing that's going to fix you.
It,
not that anyone's necessarily broken, but there's not one magic bullet.
That's right.
I think as a society we have come to, you know, come to hope for the magic bullet. It's taken me 50 years to be 50 pounds overweight, but if I take this pill, I can continue to eat and not exercise and everything's going to be fine. But that's just not life. That's just not the reality. Nor is it, well, if I eat kale, I will magically shed all this weight and become super healthy. That's not it either. It's really a comprehensive approach that starts with, why do I want to do this?
Right.
And then really getting safe, qualified answers to the path that you want to take and understand that it's going to take some time, but you can not only eat healthier, but you also feel good and probably enjoy the journey if it's done right.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So we're going to take a break here in a short bit. I want to talk more when we come back on this idea of the primary and secondary food philosophy.
Yeah.
You have done a lot of work on that, and we'd really like to spend some time on what that means and how it kind of works into this overall look at nutrition.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
All right. We'll be back right after these messages.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with a staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day. Certified produce abounds in the Orchard Nutrition Center produce department. All Orchard Nutrition Center produce is only watered with purified and pH-balanced water.
My name is John Moore. I've been shopping here at Orchard for 3 years now. One of the things that keeps me coming back is the produce here is exceptional.
And visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Organic Deli and Bakery, featuring custom-made sandwiches on freshly baked breads with nitrate-free deli meats. Orchard Nutrition Center's roast beef is grass-fed, grass-finished, and the cheeses are organic and RBST-free. Or choose vegetarian or vegan options and organic rotisserie chicken, as well as delicious homemade soups and salads. And Orchard Nutrition Center features a full-service coffee bar. Orchard Nutrition Center's in-house bakery features freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and a large selection of baked gluten-free and vegan items daily. And now, to better serve your family, Orchard Nutrition Center is open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
I'm excited about Second Tuesday Dinner in February because we are going to the Cottonwood Eatery located in historic downtown Cottonwood.
That's right. With old-fashioned country hospitality, hometown food made from scratch and served up with the right amount of love and attention.
I love the friendly community feel, the branch-style food, and the amazing desserts.
Please join us at the Cottonwood Eatery on Tuesday, February 9th as they generously donate a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane Society work towards a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Back to Wellgate Wellness, our first show where we are talking to Lindsay Miller about primary food and secondary food philosophy and just nutrition in general. Lindsay has been kind enough to spend some time with us. I've been in the health and wellness business for 30 years and had the privilege of, you know, traveling around the country before coming back home to Reading and setting up the Wellgate Sports Club. And one of the first things that I did was seek out, you know, Lindsay, and we met and we talked about, you know, how we can build something that's truly comprehensive for the community of Reading. And one of those are 4 pillars, of which there's fitness, mindset, and community. The 4th pillar is nutrition. And clearly from a wellness perspective, we believe that it has to be this comprehensive approach. And that if you listen to the nutritional experts, that, you know, 75% of your fitness improvement, your exercise gains, and overall wellness comes from nutrition. So it's an area that we've neglected for a long time. But, you know, a big part of the reason for that has not been for lack of wanting to eat healthy. But, you know, there's a lot of outside pressures. You know, big food is constantly beating on our door, whether it be in commercials or whether it be in the aisleways of our grocery store. We just finished a show not too long ago that really talked about all of the linear effects of the last 50 years contributing to what has really been an obesity epidemic in this country. And unfortunately, Redding's numbers as it relates to adult obesity are even, you know, beating the national average, which is not a good thing to be number one in.
No.
So Lindsay, maybe you could talk a little bit about in your patients or in your experience, but certainly in the nutritional field, how you've seen all this kind of evolve to where we're at right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, getting back to that primary, secondary food philosophy, and nutrition is really not just what we put in our mouth. Nutrition is truly everything that nourishes us. And when we talk about the concept, for example, of primary food and secondary food, you really need a balance of those so that you can live your most vital self and be your most vital self. Primary food, if we think about it, is everything that is fulfilling on a sort of an energetic level. So it's having those meaningful, integral relationships. It's having regular physical activity, having an inspiring career, having creativity and spiritual practice. And secondary food just happens to be what's on our plate. And it's sort of what we were talking about earlier, Rich, when, you know, you could look at these people and say, well, I eat really clean. You know, they're eating their weight in kale and, you know, they're working out, but they're in a very miserable, toxic relationship. So they're out of integrity and balance with that primary and secondary food. But contrary to that, you could have somebody that has a beautiful spiritual practice, that meditates and does yoga every day. Their financial health is doing great and they eat poorly. So you've got, again, if you don't have a balance of your primary and your secondary food, you're not really nourishing yourself to the capacity that we all deserve and the life that we all deserve to have. And so it's really, when we talk about it at Wellgate, and I'm, you know, have the pleasure of doing Wellgate Wednesdays, and we do these just beautiful general nutrition discussions, and we get to talk about things of a primary food and a secondary food. We've done multiple discussions with, you know, gratitude blended with fermented food and, you know, the karmic flow of money and greens, you know, so just that real balance. And I always like to make sure that we are being mindful of those primary and secondary foods so that we can have that balance.
I think one of the things that really brings that home that maybe most people will understand is that stress. Stress is a very real thing.
Very real.
And it is a very, it manifests itself physically in us in antioxidation of cell or oxidation of cells and in creating reactions physically that if you are not in balance can have more than a minor detrimental effect on your physical well-being.
Absolutely.
But it's not necessarily physically driven. It could be emotionally driven, spiritually driven, right?
100%. I mean, so I work full-time in dermatology, and I've been in dermatology for the past 8 or 9 years. I see about 30-plus patients a day, and I can tell you that stress has a significant impact on our health, but you can tell that on their skin health. So if you think about your skin, it's your largest organ system, and I can tell you 9 times out of 10, I can say, okay, so this is what their, you know, their diagnosis is. But I'll ask them one question more is, how is your stress? And more times than not, you'll see either tears come in women's eyes and people just say, wow, how did you know that? And I kind of joke and say, well, the skin tells a story, because you can see it in people's face. You can see it, how they interact, their exchanges. Even when you're buying a coffee, for example, if people are under a great deal of stress, they're not acting in their most present self. And it's not really how we were designed. It's just kind of where they are at that moment. But stress is a huge factor on our overall health. And I think that primary food goes back to managing that. That happens to do with self-care and physical activity and meditation, yoga, spiritual practice, and all those beautiful things that when you really are mindful and make a priority in your life, your secondary food is not as important. It's still important, but not as important as your primary food.
Right. I know that big food has been in business for an awful long time, and certainly over the last 50 or 60 years, we've seen a ever-increasing effect on the psyche of the American public on what to buy, where to buy it, what's good for you, what's an indulgence, what's okay to have once in a while. And what fascinates me is how we've kind of gotten sucked into that world of, you know, processed foods and taking the quick pill to fix this or that. I find that a lot of the stresses that people can build up can be also 180 degrees from what we're talking about, outside stresses. The foods that you eat can cause physical stresses on you as well, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of misconception that whole foods or healthy foods are a lot more money. And that can be if you just look at fast food, for example, you know, when you can get a hamburger for 49 cents. But you can also buy a pound of pinto beans or whole black beans for a couple dollars and have several meals out of it. It may take a little bit more time, but at the end of the day, you're getting a better, more nutritious meal for yourself, meal for your family. But again, that's not what's advertised. What's advertised is the Carl's Jr.'s of it all, the McDonald's of it all, the fast food of it all. And it's hard when that's been bombarded at you to think anything differently.
We talk to people all the time, and we say the easiest part of you becoming more physically well is exercise. Mm-hmm. Because I can have you for an hour a day, 3 or 4 days a week, and your body will respond to that quite well, mm-hmm. right? But nutrition, we have to have all day, every day.
Right.
And so if I can't be in front of you all day, every day to help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
So education is very, very important, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're battling a different enemy here when it comes to food,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to processed foods. You're absolutely right. Carl's Jr. will come on for, you know, or McDonald's or one of the other fast food chains and say, you know, for $1.49, you can feed a family of 10.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, you look at that and you go, well, geez, how can I not?
Right.
Take advantage of that. But most of the sugars, salts, and fats that we eat mm-hmm. in our diet come from processed foods.
Correct.
And the reality is Americans nowadays, as opposed to 50 years ago, are eating twice as much mm-hmm. restaurant and fast food as we were when fast food was coined back in the 1950s.
Right.
But what they don't realize is that by eating that fast food, or even restaurant food to a large mm-hmm. extent, you're taking in many more calories
mm-hmm.
and you're ingesting salts and sugars and fats that you normally wouldn't do if you were cooking at home. Even if you were indulging with the butter and the, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, you're not taking in all that.
Right.
When you couple that with the fact that people's grocery bill today, mm-hmm. as opposed to 50 years ago, is 10% of disposable income versus 25% of disposable income even 50 years ago, people are going, well, food's cheaper. Yeah, but what's cheaper? It's processed foods that's cheaper. When you're going down those middle aisles in the grocery store, which are, by the way, purposely set up to attract you to the boxed foods,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's cheaper, but look at what you're getting.
Right.
And so, you know, be careful what you wish for, I think, is
100%.
It is really what, you know, the message here is, because it's not necessarily more expensive to eat healthy, but you have to understand and educate yourself as to what that means.
And not only that, I think that's a beautiful point, but it's also to make it a priority. It's not to just say, okay, there is a difference, and to have the knowledge, but to make it a priority and to take the time to do it. When you're making a healthier whole food, it's going to take you a little bit of prep and it's going to take you a little bit of time. But that is time that is, you know, honoring the food. It could be good time spent with your family and prepping the food, because the outcome is you're going to make a better meal. You're going to have better foods with more nutrient and vitamin dense. And again, at the end of this, you're going to feel so much better putting better food in your body.
No question. And I don't think, you know, we're coming up to a break here, and we definitely want to get into this primary and secondary food philosophy a lot deeper. So when we come back with Lindsay, we'll talk about that. But, you know, one of the messages I think we want to get through to everybody today is that this is not an either-or proposition. We've all live a fast-paced life. Mm-hmm. We all have a family to support. We get that. These changes can be made incrementally, but can make a significant difference in how you feel, how you look, how you function. And that's something that we really want to stress. So we're up against the break. We'll be back in a second. This is Wellgate Wellness, and we're here with Lindsay Miller. We'll be back right after this break.
Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate's small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, where you will experience exceptional every day.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
We're back. This is Rich Novelli, and this is Wellgate Wellness. We're here with Lindsay Miller and talking about primary and secondary nutrition philosophies. And when we took our last break, we were starting to get into a little bit more detail on this primary philosophy, and I'd like to give you a chance to expand on that a little bit more, Lindsay. But tell me about how this manifests itself for people that you work with. How does the exercise, spirituality, career, and relationships portion of the primary philosophy kind of come together when you're talking to people?
Oh, that's a great question, and it's one that I probably use in every single conversation that I have with the patient, because even though patients specifically are seeing me to treat a skin condition, if you will, or a skin concern, I always take time to sort of uncover a little bit more about what's going on in their life. And we call this primary food, and we'll go into a little bit more of that. But I think it's overall so important and overall with our health. I think we get so fixated sometimes on actually what we put in our mouth, but that's simply our secondary food. That's what's on our plate. And there's so much more to living the most vital, the most nourished life. And that's really a balance of these primary food and secondary foods. And personally, I believe there's just such an underemphasis of primary food. There's so much talk on that secondary mm-hmm. food, which is just right. all that stuff on your plate. And there's so much controversy with food in general. And Rich and I have talked about that. But when we talk specifically about primary food, you know, a lot of it is our, you know, our spirituality. It's not only, like Rich said, our creativity, it's our financial health, it's having an inspiring, fulfilling career, it's having regular physical activity, it's having time with family, cooking in your home and preparing food that's delicious and nutritious, and it's having, you know, really integral, honest relationships. And one exercise that I love to give some of my personal clients, my health coaching clients, but also our members at Wellgate, is what we call our primary food inventory. And so if our listeners have a piece of paper, you can just kind of, if you're driving, pull over, take 5-10 minutes, and let's just do an inventory, because I don't think we do enough of this, is just kind of stop and go, okay, where am I right now? And so the things I would like you guys to write down is, the first one is spirituality. Second one, creativity. Finances. Career. Education. Health. Physical activity. Cooking. Your home environment, relationships, social life, and joy. So you should have a pretty good list there. And what I'd like you to do is look at each one of those and rate them from a 1 to 10 scale. A 1 being not very satisfied, and a 10 being super satisfied. You love that aspect of your life. And after you do that inventory, and it'll probably take you a few minutes to do if you really are honest in reflecting of where you are, and take the lowest two scores. And if you look at those two things in particular, ask yourself, how would you feel if you could improve those two areas?
So what if you have more than two?
Most people do have more than two. But, you know, more than two is overwhelming.
Right.
Two
right.
is something that you can bite off and actually make some good success in making good transformational change. So I like to just choose two. And then not only how would you feel if you could improve those two areas in your life, but what actions or what activities could you do now so that you could have a higher score? So if you are feeling kind of like, let's say, a 2 in your overall creativity, how would you feel if you were more creative, right? So if I'm asking myself that, I would say, wow, I would feel excited. I would be able to dream and have fun kind of thinking about all the crafts I can make. Okay, so take that one step further. What activities could you take to give you more fulfillment? So for me, it would be, you know, taking 20 minutes and limiting yourself to 20 minutes, because it's hard to kind of have boundaries around that. But looking on Pinterest and, you know, home crafts. And I could maybe pick a couple things that I would want to do this weekend. And just spending an hour or two doing some crafts and really kind of spending more time in that creativity, it's going to bring me more joy, I'm going to be more inspired, and overall I'm going to feel more fulfilled. So I think this is a beautiful exercise to do. And again, just starting with two. And once you've done those two things, is you can take on, because Rich has more than two,
mm-hmm.
so we'll let him take two more after
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just doing two at a time. But I think not just doing it once, I think maybe even monthly, kind of checking in and seeing, okay, where am I?
And it's probably important to reinforce the fact that, you know, we're sometimes a society that wants to go from A to Z.
Oh,
100%. And they skip B, C, D, E. So, you know, take those two and really just chunk it down, right?
Chunk it down.
And don't worry about trying to eat the whole elephant. Just kind of
one
figure it out one
at
bite
a time.
At a time.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy the journey.
And that's what I think sometimes we lose sight of. And that's why I think this inventory, for example, is so brilliant, because it really allows us to just stop and reflect. Because it's not just about how much money you have in your bank account. It's not how good of a, quote, job you have. But it's all about having an alignment of everything on that list. And we are absolutely capable and we deserve to live the most fulfilled life. We were designed for abundance. And we can have abundance in all of these things, abundance of joy, abundance of money, abundance of creativity. But it's taking the time to say, you know what? I'm not a 10 out of 10 on that, and I want to be. So what could I do right now, even 5 to 10 minutes, to allow me to feel more creative?
Well, you know, some of the hardest things to do is to just get started. Where do I start? And so you've provided us here with, you know, 12 different areas to this checklist, if you will, to start with. And, you know, from there, like you said, the journey is all about, you know, what you want to do with your life and how you can make it more fulfilling through, you know, I don't know if tackling is the right word, but certainly reflecting on these areas that you want to make better in your life. But I mean, I probably wouldn't have come up with half of this list. So this is a wonderful start for most people.
I think so, too. And it, you know, and again, like I said, I think the beauty is to not just do it once, but to maybe check in. And this is part of self-care, you know, is to check in and take 10 minutes and go, okay, where do I want to focus on? And the intention of this is not to be overwhelming. The intention is to just actually bring it to your attention where you can go, wow, I never really thought so much about creativity, but it actually is some of the times that I'm the happiest is when I'm creating or doing some kind of art. So maybe if I just spent 20 minutes a week doing something creative, overall, if that brings you more joy, that joy is going to just overflow into every aspect of your life. And well, it changes your mindset.
And we, you know, all of us are saying, I'm sure the listeners are out there going, well, I'm busy. I've got a family. I've got a career. I'm going 100 miles an hour. And what we're saying is that's fine, but here's your starting point. And just identify one or two of these areas and really use that as the jump-off point for you to identify what areas you can work on that would make you happier. And it's not an either-or proposition. I mean, listen, you're pulled in a million different directions, but I think Lindsay's point is very well taken, which is, you know, if you want to live a more fulfilled, overall healthier life, you have to start someplace.
Yeah.
And it's not just getting into the gym, which, you know, of course we would love, but it's all about, you know, looking at your life from an introspective way and identifying those areas that you can get better in.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fun to do. It's fun even to do with, you know, your girlfriends, with your partner. And I'll tell you, it takes 21 to 40 days to develop any kind of new habit. And I think the common excuse is always for people, like you were saying, Rich, I'm just too busy. But we all have the same, you know, 17,100 seconds in a day. So it's all about making it a priority. And at the end of the day, our overall health and happiness is a priority, and it should be a priority. And just getting in alignment with this is going to overall bring you more kind of, again, when we talk about those things that nourish you, this is going to help nourish you on a real energetic, spiritual place.
And I do want to add, these are things that Lindsay speaks about at Wellgate Sports Club every third Wednesday of the month in our Wellness Wednesday series. You don't have to be a member to come and enjoy these. And she has developed quite a following within the club, and there are different topics every month, but they all pretty much center around some area of this primary food philosophy and secondary food philosophy. And so, you know, I would certainly encourage, all are welcome. We would love to have you come by and meet Lindsay and myself and enjoy this kind of activity and engagement. Even if you're just starting there, I mean, it's a step in the right direction.
100%.
So when we come back, we want to talk a little bit more about, you know, food in general and dig in a little bit more to this secondary food philosophy, which is Lindsay has spoken about, is really about food and kind of break down what we all need to think about as we kind of start off in this new year and really think about where we're going to go with our lives. And we would encourage you to think about this. And again, nutrition, just like anything else, and chunk it down. You don't have to attack the whole. And we will be back right after this message. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club.
And I'm Allie Evers, proud owner of Boheme Spa.
At Wellgate, we're dedicated to building a club focused on improving the quality of your life, which is why we are so excited to introduce our new partner, Boheme Spa.
Thank you, Rich. Both Boheme Spa and Wellgate Sports Club share the same business philosophy and commitment to mind, body, and health. Conveniently located inside the Wellgate Sports Club, Boheme Spa is Reading's premier Aveda concept spa, featuring the complete line of Aveda products and Aveda signature services.
Wellgate Sports Club, in partnership with Boheme Spa, is proud to announce a groundbreaking new membership category called Rejuvenate. In addition to a standard premium access membership, Rejuvenate members receive 2 spa treatments per month from Boheme Spa for the term of the membership.
Reward yourself for your hard work and effort at the club with relaxing and restorative treatments.
Call 768-1205 today. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
That'll help you keep up with technology.
So we are back. Again, this is Rich Novelli from Wellgate Sports Club, and this is Wellgate Wellness here with Lindsay Miller, who is our special guest, talking about primary and secondary food philosophies. And we want to dig into a little bit more now about secondary, and this is what Lindsay was talking about earlier, about secondary food is, you know, what you put on your plate. And there has been an interesting transformation in this country over the last 50 years, which all of us, if you're in your 50s like I am, is really something that we've kind of grown up with. And it's been a subtle but a consistent change in the way that we as Americans eat. And I don't think that the results have been very good. Clearly, as a country, we are now at 38% as adults in obesity. And what is a rising concern is childhood obesity. We've got up towards, of, I believe, 16 to 20% now of our children that are classified as obese, and all of the medical conditions that come with that. So in researching this, we looked a lot at what's changed over the last 50 years and what we do put on our plate. And some of the things that jumped out to me that were really interesting is things that aren't necessarily weren't necessarily on our radar even 5 years ago, and that's sugar. That we think, well, a little bit of sugar's okay; it's not bad for you. It's not fat, which is was considered the enemy for so many years, and now more and more research is showing that there are very healthy fats that you should, essential fats that you should include in your diet. But that sugar has been classified as probably one of the worst ingredients in our food ever concocted. And that's going to shock a lot of people. But what's going to shock you even more is the fact that over the last 50 years, we as individual Americans have gone from consuming 66 pounds of sugar a year to now consuming over 127 pounds of sugar every year. And what's scary about that is the way that the mind registers sugar consumption. Sugars in things, especially processed food, we come back to this processed food concern that most people aren't even aware of or think about, that an average can of soda can contain upwards of 40 grams of sugar. And that's huge. That we are now, as Americans, consuming twice as many sugary drinks and fruit drinks as ever before. And people say, well, fruit juice is great and it's good for you. What they don't realize, again, that there's a lot of added sugar, that, you know, fructose by itself is defined as a sugar, that you've got to be in a concentrated form, you've got to be very careful about. And so we've gone from consuming 4 ounces of soda a day to consuming 11 ounces of soda a day. So these things all add up. And what's scary about it is that, you know, sugar has been linked to certainly type 2 diabetes, the way that your body regulates insulin. It contributes to mental focus, appetite control, and has been designated as a major contributor to obesity. So there are those things that as individuals we can look at to, again, make a change in our life if we are so inclined and truly want to get healthy, that if nutrition is, in fact, 75% of allowing us to live a healthier, more functional and greater quality of life, that there are things that we can do to change that are not going to necessarily be earth-shattering, but will make a significant difference in the way that we look at our, you know, primary philosophy and our overall outlook. So, Lindsay, maybe we can start with this: is what have you seen in, you know, in your practice? What have you seen in talking to members and patients about some of the more the easier areas to make some change on the secondary food level?
Right, I think that's a great question. When you start kind of making recommendations to either clients or patients or even, you know, friends, it can be overwhelming. And when you put somebody on, you know, food restriction, nobody wants to be in food prison. And so subconsciously our mind is going to rebel that. And what's going to happen is that long term, they're going to end up self-sabotaging, which is just human nature. And so there's a philosophy called adding in and crowding out. So when you talk about sugar, which sugar is a beast, and it is a huge, huge, huge problem in the U.S. When, you know, just to digress for a second, when you start looking at other countries, there's a book called The Blue Zones. And you start looking at centurions, which are those people that live over 100. And you talk about the five blue zones and areas where people tend to live over 100. But they tend to live over 100 with the last 5 to 8 years being completely free of morbidity, which is not the case in the U.S. All of those countries typically have a whole food, no refined sugar. They're, you know, very much of a Mediterranean diet. In Sardinia, for example, they eat whole foods with whole fats. And they live very healthy lives. Sugar is linked to not only inflammatory diseases, cancer specifically, but at the root of sugar is what it does in the body is it creates a very acidic environment. And cancers, disease, and inflammation overall thrive in a very acidic environment. And when you can add foods in that are alkalizing, things like fermented foods, things like greens, for example, your dark leafy greens, all of those kinds of things are very alkalizing. And when you can live and create more of an alkaline state in your body, you can have less disease. But it is overwhelming when somebody is typically used to drinking multiple sugary beverages a day, or having snacks, having a lot of processed foods, there is a lot of sugar, since we're going to talk about sugar right now. Mm-hmm. So when you can get back to that philosophy of adding in and crowding out, It's very difficult, again, for somebody to set them up for long-term success if you're telling them, Susie, you need to stop consuming sugar. Their brain's not going to register that. But what you can say is, okay, let's look at what you consume throughout the day.
Right.
And maybe let's make some suggestions on where we can add in this in lieu of, and what's going to happen is that naturally they're going to end up crowding out some of those choices that are suboptimal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, they're going to start feeling better by adding in better choices. But subconsciously, they're training their brain to be making those better choices. And they're not creating, we're not creating resistance or sabotage.
And this is a little off track, but, you know, I remember growing up when whole milk was what we drank.
Yeah.
But then low-fat milk got introduced. Mm-hmm. Then skim milk got introduced. And all of a sudden, now, I don't for a minute believe that it wasn't the milk industry that was trying to create new markets.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line effect was that we slowly weaned ourselves off whole milk. I don't know anybody that drinks whole milk anymore. And again, it's probably a bad example, but when you're presented with options that are healthier, mm-hmm. and you can over time introduce those and crowd out mm-hmm. the bad choices, mm-hmm. that you're going to make a significant impact.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be everything, right?
No. And it's so much better. And it's just like working out. You're not going to tell somebody, okay, so I'm going to have you go from the couch to running a half marathon next weekend. It doesn't happen. It's a slow progress. It's steady. And then that physical activity becomes a lifestyle. And when we start suggesting and adding in so that these other choices that, are, again, are not the optimal choice are crowded out, with time, that becomes a lifestyle. And it's not something that they're quote-unquote, oh, I'm doing no sugar right now. Oh, I'm doing gluten-free or whatever works best for them. I'm doing no trans fat right now. But what it does is it becomes part of their lifestyle. And it's ingrained in them, just like as a habit since we were a kid, we brush our teeth every night, them making better conscious choices. Because, again, it's all about making conscious choices. So much of what we do is unconscious, right? It's just out of habit. They crack a Pepsi every morning because that's what they do every morning. Whereas we could say maybe we could have some green tea and sweeten it with a little bit of honey in the morning because that's a better choice. You're going to get a better sugar choice, but also you're going to get some antioxidants in the green tea. So again, we're going to add that in. And then maybe they're going to want a Pepsi less with time because optimally they're going to feel better making those choices, but it also becomes a habit just like anything else.
And I think the exercise analogy is a great one. You know, we would never recommend anybody coming in that hasn't exercised or trained in any capacity for years to come in and work out and be lifting hundreds of pounds of weight, you know, the first week, month, even year. It's a slow and incremental process. And what we really promote is consistency.
That's
and
right.
I think that that's really at the heart of what we're trying to talk about here today is identifying those things, those foods. And we, you know, I've pinpointed sugars, but there's a lot of other things
oh,
we could 100%. Talk about. We could talk about processed foods. We could talk about poor hydration. We could talk about a million
protein.
Different things. Protein.
Yeah.
Trans fats. There's a lot of things that we could go down that road. But for today, if we focus on sugars, you can take a look at, do label reading. You could take a look at what you're intaking and say, geez, instead of the sugary soda or sugary fruit drink, I'm going to replace that today with bottled water. Maybe not all of it. Maybe one of your daily intakes is going to be water instead of that Pepsi. Trust me, it will make a difference. And that is the consistency, the long-term commitment that you're looking for in making a change that will make all the difference, I think, in your lifestyle. So what we're running up against it, this has gone by
so fast.
So fast. Thank you so much,
Lily. Welcome.
I could not have asked for a better special guest for our show here. If you are interested in sending comments, suggestions for future shows, or questions for Lindsay or myself, please feel free to email us at info@wellgatesportsclub.com. We also would love to invite you to come down, see the club. Wellness Wednesdays are coming up, so come and see us. Again, Rich Novelli with Wellgate Wellness. And Lindsay Miller, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Candidate Bernie Sanders now will receive Secret Service protection. More details on that from correspondent Linda Kenyon.
Senator Sanders now joins Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton and Republican presidential candidates Donald Trump and Ben Carson as the only White House contenders with Secret Service protection.